Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 39 degrees and rainy. Today is Thursday, November 10th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka Tribe of Alaska released preliminary returns yesterday from its tribal council election. Wade Martin was the leader in Tuesday's polling with 206 votes. Ben Mayasato earned 194. Dale Williams had 176 votes, and Archie Nielsen had 166. The four are the unofficial winners of the election. Runners-up include Mike Baines, who earned 154 votes. Betty Jo Moore had 153 votes. Lillian Feldpouch, who ran as a write-in candidate, had 76 votes. The early numbers were released yesterday by STA Interim General Manager Ted Wright and must be certified by the Tribal Council in order to become official. At the same time, Tribal Council Chairman Woody Widmark has confirmed to KCAW that an ethics complaint was filed by a tribal citizen against Council Member Stephanie Edenshaw. Widmark did not elaborate on the exact nature of the complaint or who filed it. An ad hoc committee of the council has been established in order to evaluate the complaint, and Widmark says he wants to let it do its fact-finding before he discusses details publicly. The complaint was filed last week. Widmark says Edenshaw has 10 days to respond. When contacted by KCAW, Edenshaw said she's not at liberty to discuss the issue and declined to comment. The ethics complaint comes almost exactly a year after complaints were lodged against Tribal Council member George Paul. Those charges were weighed during a long and acrimonious council meeting, largely held behind closed doors. Eventually, Paul was removed. Paul was replaced by the appointment of Mike Baines, who at the time had just lost his seat during the 2010 election. The storm isn't over, but the worst appears to have passed for many communities along Alaska's west coast. A monster storm packing hurricane-force winds and high seas came out of the Bering Sea this week, causing places from Unalakleet to Point Hope to brace for the worst. Meanwhile, here in Sitka, students at Mount Edgecombe High School work to reach family members back at home. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
Lunchtime at Mount Edgecombe High School in Sitka, where students are shooting hoops in the gym. The state-run boarding school is home to hundreds of students from all over Alaska, including many from communities along the state's west coast. For them, the last day has consisted of phone calls home, trying to get any word they can from relatives in the storm's path. A group of students gathers in the entryway of the gym, and I ask them to raise their hands if they've spoken to anyone back home in the last 24 hours. Most of the hands go up. Michelle Swokus does not.
I'm trying to get a hold of like my mom and my brothers, but the cell phones and the home phones aren't working, and I'm really worried about my family and my dog.
Swoku is a senior at Edgecombe. She comes from Gamble on the northwest tip of St. Lawrence Island. She might be one of the few who hasn't been able to reach home yet, but even among those who have, the updates have been sporadic. And that's difficult when you're far away, says senior Evelyn Komanasiak from Teller.
It's kind of scary not knowing what's happening, really, just because we're so far away from home. Like, you don't know if everyone at home was safe just because of, like, the lack of communication and all that.
Komanasiak says she has reached family back home.
It was, like, really windy, and they all had to evacuate to a new site, and that's, like, more houses 2 miles north of Teller, south of Teller. And yeah, I haven't gotten anything else.
Senior Janice Holm-Kinkow is from Koyak, a community of about 300 people at the north end of Norton Bay, between Unalakleet and Nome.
I just got off the phone with my dad, and he said it flooded badly, and the caches went down where they hang dried fish. They all went down.
She says it was just good to hear voices from home.
Yes, I was so worried last night. I called my dad, and I made sure that all my siblings were home, and he was like, okay, you don't have to worry, and they were all fine in the morning.
The students tell me that Facebook has been more reliable than the phone in many cases, and their feelings are mixed on being so far away from home. Some said it was difficult not to be with family right now, but others said they were glad they missed it. All of them, though, including freshman Danny Merkuliev from St. George Island, say it's been important to have other Western Alaskans at school with them.
You get a better understanding, and you have people supporting you while you're worried, and they know what you're going through.
Edgecombe's academic principal, Bernie Gurley, says the school has relaxed its cell phone policy. If students get calls during class, they're allowed to step into the hallway and answer, and those who don't have cell phones can use school phones if they need to reach home. Gurley says the students are taking things in stride, but also that the mood at school has definitely changed.
I wouldn't call it an anxiety. I really wouldn't go that far. But there's kind of a little bit more excitement, and they're anxious to hear about what's happening at home, and they're anxious to share that with other people, too.
Gurley says he's been impressed at their ability to keep in touch with friends and family on the other side of the state.
I think a few years ago, it might be a little bit different. If not everybody had a cell phone, if not everybody could get on Facebook or whatever the case may be, but there's a lot of communication going on right now, and that's probably the best that can happen right now.
With so many students from all over the state, almost any major event in Alaska is bound to resonate here. Gurley says this might be the first one that's impacted so many students at the same time. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The massive storm that slammed into western Alaska yesterday formed in the western Pacific and was fueled by tropical moisture near Japan. And while the storm is not headed to southeast Alaska, its impact is being felt here in slightly better weather than we might have otherwise. I spoke with NOAA meteorologist Joel Curtis yesterday about the effects of the big storm on southeast weather and some of the other weather phenomena the region has been experiencing in the past few weeks.
This thing is headed into the Chukchi Sea. It's going to die in the Arctic.
It's just sort of tearing across the northwestern coast of the state.
Yeah, and of course what's critical to those folks there is this: is they have very, very little ice to protect their shores right now. So they're getting the full fetch of the wind wave and the swell eroding the beach.
Even though this thing is not going to have no direct effect on us in southeast Alaska, does it have an indirect effect?
Of course. This storm is something that you would notice on the planetary scale. In other words, if you were on a satellite way out in space and you were looking at Earth right now during the daylight hours, I mean, you'd see that thing. And because of that, there would be certain dynamics in the atmosphere that would bring better weather to southeast. When I got up this morning, I mean, the sky was full of stars here. And so we're on the downside, downstream side of a ridge.
Western Alaska's pain is our gain a little bit.
That might be one way to think of it. And then when I just glanced at the satellite a few minutes ago, I could see a system off the west coast of the U.S. So trough, ridge, trough, I know that's a little bit of meteorological terminology there, but what that's saying is bad weather, good weather, bad weather.
Let's just take this storm system in western Alaska out of the picture for a minute and look at the weather in southeast Alaska since about Halloween. That weekend prior to Halloween in Sitka, we had some tremendous thunderstorms, and they seemed to kind of roll on all night long. And then just a couple of days ago, same thing, another sort of series of thunderstorms sort of all night long. And it always struck me that thunder and lightning were kind of an occasional phenomenon here, but we seem to have had much more intense kind of thunderstorms lately. Has that been your observation as well?
Honestly, this is our climatological time of year that we get them. October, November, and then maybe even you could consider early December. The reason that we get them here is because the ocean surface temperature is still quite warm and lags behind the cooling of the air as we get further and further toward the solstice. So what's happening is we're getting some pretty good cold air at upper levels, let's say 18,000 feet or so. And this cold air moves over that warm water, and heating from below is a good ingredient to get thunderstorms.
Is it happening with any more frequency than you might expect?
I would have to say that this has got a normal feeling to me. I mean, I remember going waterfowl hunting at Yakutat for about a week in October a couple of years ago and having thunder and lightning every single day I was out hunting.
And there's often a little bit of wind and some hail that come with these storms. That's all part of the package, I guess.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you get updrafts and downdrafts. Let's say we're getting one of these systems with ice pellets in it. Well, those ice pellets are helping to cool the air, and colder air will actually sink and add to wind gusts that you get around these cells. So clearly you would expect gusty winds, especially in the later stages of one of these cells, as let's say it's reached its peak, and then what we get is the thunderstorm will actually collapse in time. And during those collapse, all the air that's cooled off that has been rising in that thunderstorm tends to sink, and you get a bit of a downdraft and maybe a little bit of a downburst. But they're nothing like the downbursts that they get in the central U.S.
Is all of this any comfort to you when you're sitting out in your duck blind getting drenched?
Well, yeah, as long as the ducks are flying, I mean, that's all that matters, right?
Joel Curtis is the warning and coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Juneau. The state is making 20,000 doses of adult flu vaccine available for free to organizations or providers to give to people not yet vaccinated. Joe McLaughlin with the State Department of Health says the vaccine will be distributed on a first-come, first-served basis. He says organizations wishing to participate must have a licensed medical provider sign a request form taking responsibility for proper storage and administration of the vaccine. Request forms are available online. The department says Alaska responded to a nationwide call for free vaccine from the manufacturer. It says providers won't be able to charge for the vaccine, but may charge for administering it if they want. The vaccine is for use in adults age 18 to 64. That's going to do it for news for this hour. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain, highs around 44. South winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, rain in the evening, then a chance of rain late, lows around 36, west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And tomorrow, Veterans Day, decreasing clouds, chance of rain in the morning, highs around 45, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour in the morning, becoming light and variable. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.